If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't think you trust in my self-righteous suicide. Yeah.
It's the Little Pete Show. Welcome. We're not allowed to play licensed music, but we can have a fucking good go at singing it, can't we? We can have a bloody good go.
Like you see you do something about that loophole.
Oh, I've got a bit of gas. Sorry. What a start to a show. I got so excited. And why am I excited, Luke Moore? Because it is our big, bouncing, 4 years strong birthday.
4 years this week.
4 years in the habit.
Since it took me 6 months to convince Pete to do this.
Yeah. Our first show was in the... Was it in XFM? No, it wouldn't have been XFM. It would have been in Absolute Radio.
It was Absolute, yeah.
It was in Studio 3.2 at Absolute Radio. A radio session that gets better every year.
And to celebrate our birthday, we've got Gordon Ramsay in.
Oh, God, he's been doing his Gordon Ramsay impression all morning. Boyd, you are more excitable after you've done two podcasts.
Gordon. Sorry, darling, what's your name? Gordon?
It's getting better.
Beautiful.
It's getting better.
Rustic food. Yes, good stuff. 4 years, Pete. We're wasting our lives.
Happy birthday.
It's good to get a reminder of it.
Happy birthday, Laps.
Take my wallet out of my pocket because my leg's a bit sore.
Why?
I don't know.
It's that heavy, is it?
Yeah.
Full of moths.
I'm 40. You're 40.
Yeah. Let's kiss.
Well, we could, but it's also bad to think that when we started this, I was already 36.
Yeah, 36 doesn't sound bad. 37 sounds bad. I mean, anybody who's listening who is under the age of 40, who's under the age of 35, would look at 36 and go, whoa.
What was the big one for you, the birthday where you were like, fuck?
38 was one where you sort of go, that sounds hefty.
I think mine was 30.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I've heard that a lot of footballers get properly like antsy when they turn 30.
Oh, what? Because it's the end of their... Well,
it's 30 sounds a lot older.
Yeah, but keepers, like, they can go on for another 12 years if they want to.
I think keepers are a different kettle of fish.
They are a different... Think, like, drummers, aren't they?
I think they're
absolutely mad.
They're exonerated.
Do you think that keepers are just generally good? Like, most keepers are adequate. And it's only the ones who play for the big clubs. The focus is a little bit more. They have exactly the same skill set as everyone else. They just get criticised more. So if I was a goalkeeper, I'd stay at your West Hams. I'd stay at your Newcastle United. You're always going to have a nice time there.
You are a man completely bereft of ambition. We know that.
Yeah,
I
know.
It's not new. Listeners to this show will not find that new. I think that it's all about mindset when you get to the top level. You remember Big Pava we used to play with?
Yeah.
He is a colossal man,
mm-hmm.
and it was even bigger.
With colossal velocity.
He's even bigger now.
Yeah.
But when he was match fit, fighting fit, the way he would fill the goal was incredible. He was the best goalkeeper I've ever played with, and he got to about Buckingham Town level.
Right, yeah.
So imagine what it takes to get up there. It's almost a bit like broadcasting, Pete.
But the keepers nowadays, they are very much, they've got to get down, they've got to get up, they've got to get down. All the tests are, they get down, they get up, they get down, they get up,
How quick can you get up, and how well can you pass it? Mm. Pete, what's the difference between a good and a great broadcaster?
Ones who can do the Cruyff turn. Yeah, well, what are you saying? You're the great broadcaster.
No, I pointed at you when I say good, and I pointed at me when I say great, but you didn't pick up
fantastic.
On it.
Okay,
you don't care.
So, like, it's mainly just kind of like people can do a turn on a sixpence. I once heard occasionally maligned Richard Bacon announcing the death
maligned?
Of Mike. Yeah, I think it gets weird.
Because of the Charlie back on Blue Peter?
No, not because of that, but it's the one thing people know about him. He's criticised as being kind of quite lightweight, but he's done like a lot of Five Live, a lot of quite, you know, hefty stuff that he's had to do. And I heard him announce the death of Michael Jackson.
Right.
And he had quite a deft touch, and he's quite a sort of he's a very, very good broadcaster. Yeah. And I think that the sort of people who
switching
don't go,
with the tone. Is
yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I remember I had to announce Chris Cornell's death. I had to.
Did you do a burp?
I didn't do a burp.
No.
My sound. Welcome to my sound garden. I did. I announced Chris Cornell's death on Absolute Radio. Yeah. I announced Chester Bennington, who'd been on the show a few times.
Do you only do like kind of quite morose indie musicians?
Yeah. Well, Prince as well.
Oh, did you?
And I had to, you know, I was doing my, you know, what have I eaten today, texter.
Yeah, what's
had
that smell?
Absolutely,
what's that smell?
Yeah, what's that smell? Legendary, yeah. Do you like me? Like sashay directly into Prince's dead, isn't he? That's
wow.
Upsetting.
I'd have played the whole of 1983's Dirty Mind.
That would have made it easier.
Yeah,
just rather than just trying to sort of remember things about that I
love
knew about
you
Prince.
More than I did when you were mine.
Oh, the Super Bowl. Oh, his clothes. Oh, sex. Didn't he like sex?
Only for a bit, though.
What?
Stopped, didn't he?
He started to stop. Yeah.
He stopped and refused to perform those songs after a certain point because I think he became quite a religious man.
But then I think he picked it back up again. That Janelle Monáe song that she did, that was, I think, co-written by him just before he died, that is sexual.
But the reason that's interesting, I think, is because most people become more of a pervert when they're religious.
That's true.
Can I say that?
Yeah, that's fair.
They like hats, they like dresses, they like...
Oh, well, that's more kinky. I wouldn't say that's more sexual.
What's your cut-off, though?
I mean, the Catholic Church are into shit that we can talk about. Well, let's not talk about it, but I'm just saying that they're known for one thing, for one flavour.
Yeah.
But then also,
as
like
Craig David said.
I like to think the Anglican Church probably a bit more whippy and chainsy.
Perhaps.
In the belfry.
Perhaps. Perhaps. I also would like to chuck Danny Kelly's hat into the ring here.
Okay.
He is very good at shifting tone on a sixpence.
Yeah.
And I remember doing a show with him. We were talking about something quite lighthearted. Something, I think it was probably something to do with reggae because he's obsessed with reggae.
Right.
And then an old footballer died and it came in on the show and he switched.
Yeah.
But not only did he switch, he went onto a whole monologue using like quite Shakespearean language. And he was saying stuff like, has left this vale of tears.
Yeah.
His fate has broken his stride. All this kind of stuff. And it was actually very impressive.
You like that sort of thing. You've kind of adopted a little bit of that here and there.
I'll do it poorly. I do it in more of a kind of like a... Do you know what? The way I do it is like Danny Kelly is very much like seeing Oasis in their pomp at Nebworth. Mm-hmm. I'm like that famous...
Noasis.
I'm like that famous tribute band pub in Crewe. They just have tribute bands every night and everyone has a lovely time, but let's be honest, it's not the real thing.
I do like those pubs and I don't go to enough of those pubs. There's one near the station near St Albans and all they have is tribute acts, and the urinals are the Rolling Stones and little lippy mouths.
Okay.
They piss into a person's mouth.
Yeah.
It's a bit weird, isn't it?
I think there are, I want to say it's in Scotland. I think that's a safe enough bet.
Okay.
There's a urinal at a football club there with TV screens, and you can piss on your rival team's goals and stuff.
Nice. That's a nice little touch.
Or as they would say, pesh.
Pesh. There's, in Japan, you have little games. You pee left or right to make the...
Is it hygienic, Pete?
It's probably not, is it? No. Toilets generally aren't, though. Just don't put your hands in them. Don't put your hands in them.
Don't wipe some bread around the rim.
Oh.
There's a famous viral video, isn't there, of I think an Aberdeen fan?
Jumping in the...
Yeah. Head first through the urinal.
What's your favourite viral urinal? I went through a phase about 5 years ago when I was pissed, pulling the little cubes out of the urinal, throwing at my friend.
That's pathetic behaviour.
It is pathetic behaviour. You just wash your hands afterwards. It's fine.
But what about them?
What about them? It's not my
their
business.
Problem.
They've made the decision to go out with me.
It's someone else's business. That's
They've
the problem.
They've made the decision to go out with me. That's all I'm saying.
I don't have a favourite viral urinal video, I don't think.
The German man who comes out of the festival toilet and starts washing his hands in the urinal.
Do you remember the...
And that woman's sort of interviewing, going, oh, he's put his hand in the urinal. Is this a toilet?
Do you remember that German techno Viking? Was he German?
I think
frightening.
Absolutely chilling. Well, he...
So
you think he's frightening.
So
and
measured,
then, and then he sort of... he teaches a man to stop bothering a woman. And then he goes back to techno Vikinging as well.
But he's so measured. Mm, it's a march, and people are probably, some of them are on drugs, so they're a little bit more reckless abandon. Mm. He's very marchy, measured.
A
military background, I'm going to suggest.
But again, I never trust people who like dance music and aren't on drugs all the time. And I never trust. And I never trust broadcasters who can do that pace change, because you could be in a conversation with them, and to get one up on you, they might sort of go, "Oh, what, you really think that, do you?" And it starts to change. I don't like people who play with my emotions like that.
It very much says more about you than them, doesn't
it? No, I don't think people should play with my emotions. I don't think I should be joking along. Maybe I say an off-colour joke. I'm pushing boundaries. I'm an envelope tearer and something like that. And I'm a parameter botherer. And and I go a little bit too far.
Wake up!
Suddenly...
How would you break bad news to someone then? How do you do it in your personal life or your professional life off air?
You know that kid you had?
Did you up until recently have a dog?
How many dogs have you got?
Yeah.
Right. How good are you at subtraction?
One of the two finest Leslie Nielsen lines. One is, "Ma'am, we would have come here earlier, but your husband wasn't dead then." And the second one is when he goes into someone's office and they say, "Who are you and how did you get in here?" "I'm a locksmith and I'm a locksmith."
Ah, wonderful.
There we go. Peter, I would be fine with you breaking me some bad news, because you would probably do it on WhatsApp with some text speak and a meme, probably a GIF, and then later on check if I was okay with a little kiss.
I'm a big kisser on most
of my... Not in real life, though.
Not in real life. That's not COVID compliant. It's the only kissing I get to do these days.
Yeah.
But I do occasionally do it on an email to someone I don't know. And it's like, I shouldn't do that.
It's like calling your teacher mum.
Yeah, it is a little bit.
Okay, Peter, listen. The world's longest intro ever.
Cool.
As you look around to see how long we've been recording this.
Ooh, that's a chunky intro.
It is. What are we actually going to talk about this week? It's a Monday. Summer is here. We've had some nice weather. Mm. I've got a few bits and pieces here to talk about. Is there anything on your mind that you'd like to talk about this week that doesn't involve a student hacking the KFC app and ordering £6,500 worth of chicken?
Well, I would like to talk about that quite.
Let's do it then.
Let's talk about it
because that's happened.
Yes, a man has hacked the KFC. I mean, you've done it all, to be honest. There was a KFC app glitch, and some plucky hacker, has managed to order £6,500 worth of free food. And in China, you would imagine, his name is Zhu, and he managed to secure himself bucket upon bucket of free chicken, says the metro.co.uk piece on this. Him and his friends just got away with nearly 15 grand worth of food. And out in China, cheaper as well, cheaper.
I like this because he has done what I'm always asking people to do.
Mm.
Regular listeners to this show will know I am furious still now at the man who got busted stealing £1 million from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire for cheating.
Steal less,
because he flew too close to the sun.
Mm.
What this guy's done is he has dragged this out over a period of years.
Mm.
If he had just ordered £16,000 worth of chicken straight away, bang, you're busted.
Yeah. Who's doing that?
You found the glitch.
Mm.
Keep it to yourself.
Mm.
Maybe a few close friends. Certainly no more than that. And make sure they're trustworthy and almost develop some kind of KFC-themed spy cell and help yourself.
Yeah.
You know? But how did he get found out? I can't remember.
I think they probably just noticed a man was just receiving...
Probably a software update.
Probably a software update. They probably, you can't... Look, with the electronics and the internet, you can't get away with this sort of thing. But well done for that man for trying.
Well, he's in jail. He won't get any KFC there, will he? 2.5 years he's been sent down for.
Oh, wow. That's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
He only got fined 700 quid, which I thought was quite cool.
He's in jail. I mean, look at loss of earnings alone.
True.
Yeah. It's not worth it.
How much would you pay for a chicken nugget, Luke Moore? A single chicken nugget?
Do I get any kind of context here?
How hungry
am I?
How much do you like the video game Among Us?
I've heard of it, yeah.
You've heard of it, yeah.
I know some friends who play it.
Yeah,
I'm a PUBG man. I'm a PUBG man, baby.
Man, through and through. $99,000. Cracking on for, obviously, $100,000. That's how numbers work. A chicken nugget in the shape of an Among Us character is going for nearly $100,000 on eBay. I don't think he's going to get that money.
Personally. No, he won't. And is that a quirk of the production process? They haven't designed it on purpose.
Yeah.
It just happened. Yeah.
And it also comes from a BTS-branded meal, you know, the boy band, the Bangtan Boys, or whatever they're called. It came from their meal. feel, and it's kind of mashed together a love of the BTS army and also the Among Us
and
crew
and the chicken's
well.
Head
and chickens. To make chickens have not been interviewed for No.
Apparently, it's 100% chicken breast meat these days. But speaking of which, I listened to one of my favourite podcasts, which isn't the Stack podcast, which is Malcolm Gladwell's
Get
show.
Get fucked.
Yeah.
Big haired man.
Big Gladys.
Big hair. Oh, it's just...
Oh, the Art Garfunkel of podcasting.
Freakonomics.
Yeah. No, he's not Freakonomics.
Gladwell's Freakonomics, isn't he?
No, Freakonomics is Stephen Levitt and Stephen Dubner, isn't it?
No!
Yeah.
No.
Sorry to break it to you,
brother. I'm going
to
type that in.
Do that. You waste your time while I carry on talking.
What did I interview Malcolm Gladwell for then?
He did Blink.
On XFM.
He did a very famous book called Blink.
Freakonomics. Oh my God, it is.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I've been going through my life freakonomically.
When will you
on him?
When will you respect me? anyway, listen. I listened to an episode of Gladwell's Revisionist History, and I would love it to be a part of the Stack network, but it's not going to happen. Let's be honest. He won't return any of my calls.
No.
And he's talking about McDonald's, Pete. About that. He says. It's a great episode. When he was 13 years old, he went to McDonald's for the first time and he had the fries and they were amazing.
Yes.
And he tried to work out why, when he goes to McDonald's with his family now or whatever, the fries aren't as good.
Mm.
And he explores and investigates whether it's because he's got some kind of middle-aged nostalgia for it or it actually did change. And what he finds out is it did actually change. In 1990, a man in the US went on a massive, well-funded crusade to make fast food restaurants healthier because he had a heart attack and he was a multi-millionaire, and he managed to lobby and convince McDonald's to change the way they made their fries, which made them not taste as good. And they did a taste test with a load of millennials using the old formula at the food technology place out in California. And they were able to eat them again and they were amazing, but they had to change from beef tallow
to
some kind of corn fat or something.
Interesting.
And so they've changed over the years.
That would make them vegetarian, though, wouldn't they? Which is
I suppose so, yeah, because I know... And speaking of this, while we're on this subject, I know that in Five Guys, they fry the fries in peanut oil.
Yeah, so you get free peanuts.
Yeah, but no one with a peanut and nut allergy can have
I wouldn't
them.
Go in. I wouldn't go in if I had a peanut allergy.
There's too many people with nut allergies these days. You're cutting off a lot of potential customers there.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. But they do taste delicious, especially the Cajun fry one.
And they chuck extra ones in the bag, don't they?
They do, yeah, if you want them, yeah. I mean, it does get very greasy after
What do you think about that? Why do you think they do that?
What do you mean?
Well, at the end, they give you a portion and they chuck a load more
just
fries in the bag.
Just to make you feel good. I'll
make you feel good.
In McDonald's, I bought a little box of little cheese balls. I suppose they're like cheese curds.
Mozzarella dippers?
Yeah, mozzarella. Well, no, they're like little sort of nuggety things, right? And it said, this is designed for three. The little box said designed
for
three.
They always fucking say that.
Fucked.
They say that to get away with the portion size recommendations from the fucking the health... department or whatever. That's what you get, a bag of M&Ms. Great to share. Mind your own fucking business.
I bought a carton of orange juice, and it said, and all of the nutritional information was for like 150 millilitres, right?
Yeah.
And it was 160 millilitres in the carton. I was like, why have you done that? Yeah, dickheads. Ridiculous.
It's like the old tip, isn't it? If you order a load of food for delivery just for yourself and you go down and answer the door, if you're embarrassed, you shout behind you, food's here! And just take it. So people think it's for lots more people.
How many times have you done that?
Oh, mate.
No.
I'm not embarrassed about how fat I am. That's the thing. It's a difference. I used to be, but I'm not anymore.
When I was running down.
I challenge them. Do you know what I do?
You what?
If they're going to. Because they think, maybe the particular kind of more needly delivery drivers, and normally they're lovely.
Yeah.
If they're going to challenge me, like subconsciously or unconsciously by looking at me when they hand my food over, I will hold their gaze. Let them know that I know how much food I've ordered for myself.
Do a little dribble.
I just wee myself. I just wet myself.
Yeah, but if they're keeping your gaze, I'm not going to say that you've wet yourself. It's a frig victory.
Yeah. I don't think about that. It's a waste of a wet myself.
Waste of a wet yourself. Right.
Can you wet yourself on demand? No, some people got stage fright, don't they? You're the kind of man who won't go to your urinal, will you?
I could probably poo myself more than wee myself, I would say. There's something in your head that goes, this is the wrong place for this, Peter.
Do you like...
Peter.
Do you like it that COVID is...
I love it getting off my jeans.
That you haven't... Because of COVID, you don't have to go to your urinal anymore. And you're not going to be judged for
it. I've still been gone to the urinal.
Who is it that doesn't go to the urinal then? Someone we know that doesn't go to a urinal. I thought it was
you. You've talked about my penis before because you've sorted a urinal. So I've clearly been to a urinal before.
That's true, actually, yeah. And I've broken the rule there because you're not supposed to look at other men's penises.
Let's get into it now. But other people have looked at me because of you.
Then my work here is
one
done.
One of them, Ben Bailey-Smith, he did it.
Did he?
Because of you.
What did he think of it?
I don't know. He didn't review it or anything. He was pissed off.
That was the same night you let yourself down by calling him Wu-Tang Crew.
Yes.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, dear.
Let's go to a break on that note.
Let's go to a break.
We're trying not to wet ourselves.
No promise.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Bernie Katz was fun, he was kind. When he walked in, the room just lit up.
And there was something magical about this young man that just had a glint in his eye, that didn't give a shit about anything but loved everything.
My first impressions were of a huge, vibrant and outgoing personality, all hugs, grins, extravagant language and wild attire.
Always in a leopard skin jacket, whirling around like a windmill. I know, she's a character. I don't know if those people exist anymore. They're sort of dying out. Everything's changed.
It is a bank holiday weekend in London, the late summer of 2017. The streets around Kentish Town, just north of the city and halfway towards Hampstead Heath, are unusually quiet. That evening, in a small, converted flat, just a 15-minute bus ride from King's Cross Station, Bernie Katz, pocket-sized and long-standing front-of-house manager of London's Groucho Club, is found dead by his landlord.
I said to him, what happened? You know, and he said, we are not talking about it. And yes, there have been the rumours. We've all heard. I mean, what did I hear specifically? That he was murdered.
His relationship with his father was so toxic. He hated the idea that his son was gay. His dad was a proper gangster. Bernie came down, there was a car far from. Guy blows his dad's head off.
They're all part of the same fetid, seething, self-referential nest of vipers that I think the Groucho have become.
Was Bernie depressive? I think yes. When alone, a condition he rarely sought, he had demons that flew about his head.
I get a call from Bernie and he is in £20,000 worth of debt with the Albanian gangsters in Soho. We all collected and paid the debt.
The way that the Albanians operate is very, very peculiar because they did not operate unlike any other mafia in Europe.
I've never been able to establish exactly what happened and why, but whatever it was so wrong.
Bernie, who killed the Prince of Soho? Listen now. A Stack production, available wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Luke and Pete Show. It is Monday. Oh, I'm so soggy, Luke. I went for a walk.
Wait. I'm
sorry, I forgot what we were doing. I am so soggy. I went for a run up and down Upper Street for business reasons. I just wanted coffee.
I forgot a pen.
I want to get some post-its. Yeah. And I'm just really wet. It's a miserable day.
I had an absolutely devastating experience last night out doing exercise. Mm. Did that big walk in the Lake District, which I told you about. And I thought, I felt all right. I was kind of dreading all the exercise we're going to do in the lakes because Mimi's really fit and healthy and athletic.
But you are too. You're always running around.
The thing is, I've lost it big time. Mm. And I haven't done much. COVID's really fucked me, to be honest.
Right.
And so I was kind of dreading the amount of physical activity. Mm. But it was actually all right.
Yeah.
And on the final day, we did this big hike, which I told you about, this big walk. And last night, I thought, you know what? I've done a lot of walking last week because I was in the office a lot and I walked back from Brixton. It's about a 45-minute walk. It's a good bit of exercise, particularly when the sun's shining. I thought, I'm going to treat myself to a run. Mm. Went for a run. Abysmal. Could barely do a mile. It was so depressing. And the one of the great things about doing a run is you get outside and then when you get back, you feel good. Mm. I felt terrible. I just felt like I've really let myself down.
Right.
So I'm still kind of getting over that at the moment.
Oh, sorry to hear that, Luke. Well, I'm sure you get back on the bike, which, I mean,
you can't
not
cheat,
the bike.
Isn't it?
shall we do some emails, Luke?
Yes.
Because we are terrible at not getting to emails because we are so self-indulgent. Imagine the Luke and Beach Shop being self-indulgent.
People still send them in and that's on
they
them.
They do, exactly. Jack's come up with an email. Thank you, Jack. Speaking of steps, marathons, stuff like that. Hi, Luke and Pete. Great work as always. Love us all. Just getting in touch regarding the most steps / longest walk. I'm sure I'll be beat by some other nutter. But last summer, a mate and I decided for our birthdays, no less, to celebrate by doing a double marathon. Sounds young. Jack sounds like a millennial.
He was then.
he could celebrating by doing a double marathon. Just around 84K. Huh. It took over 12 hours and I racked up 87,000 steps. I don't know if this qualifies, but it was a bloody hard day. As an aside, the day after I had what can only be described as the worst hangover ever, multiplied by 10, I hadn't even touched a beer the night before. And after a doctor's visit, it turned out to be hyponatremia. Essentially overhydration, where your salt content is diluted below normal levels. I later found out that can be fatal, though a couple of days later, I felt fully recovered. The lesson was all clearly, don't drink too much water. As Pete said all along, all the best and cheers, Jack. I think that maybe our generation, and again, I'm assuming that Jack's younger because that's the sort of thing that younger people do, and I tut at it and go, come on, let's have some shots instead.
Yeah.
Let's have a little cry about our lives on our birthday. Our generation... the water thing, Leah Betts was a big thing. That kind of puts that in the head. Don't drink too much water because you can get very, very unwell.
I think the way you can check, and I know this because I've read it somewhere, but I've also seen it on the wall of every football club dressing room of a certain level I've been in, a urine chart. So they have a urine chart,
yes,
about how hydrated you are, because it is also dangerous to be overhydrated, as we've talked about in the past. And I think that's the way you check. So if your urine is completely clear, it's probably you're a little bit overhydrated. You want to be almost like a straw, very light yellow straw colour.
Oh, lovely.
When you do it and it's like treacle, that's underhydrated.
That's too many molasses. I just consume too many molasses.
I also heard a story.
Mind you, the Tab Clear or sludge.
Tab Clear, that probably counts. I also heard a story of a friend of mine who went on the lads' holiday back in the, early 2000s or whatever. Mm-hmm. And a friend of his got taken to the hospital because he had a problem with hydration. He had a heat stroke and all the rest of it. And the doctor did a bit of investigation and worked out that he had only drunk beer for like 9 days and nights. Not a single piece of liquid had gone past his lips. And his internal system was just
going, come on, mate.
Yeah. and made him just basically collapse.
So jeez.
It's a delicate balance. He's fine now, I think. Okay. Yeah. Just get him on the drip, brother.
Just get him on the drip, brother.
I've also heard stories of doctors, and if people are listening who are doctors can get in touch about this. I've heard of doctors treating themselves for hangovers by putting saline drips in themselves and stuff.
Well, look, you've got to treat people, and if you're under hydrated, But it's just better.
That doesn't mean like treat them as in give them sweets. It means actually like medically treat them, right?
Imagine if you were a doctor and you'd completely misread the memo.
Yeah.
I bought this woman a packet of roses.
You know me and the Nalgene, I try and get through one of these by lunchtime every day. No, every day by lunchtime, I try and get through one of them. That's a litre. I'm a big unit.
You have teas as well.
I'm a powerful athlete.
How many pisses do you do?
A day?
Yeah.
Do I think that people want to hear this? Probably. Yeah. I reckon I probably do 5 pisses a day. How many do you do?
It's 2 big ones. 2 what? 2 substantial ones, I'd say. And then one at the end of the day, maybe, if I'm feeling fruity.
You've got to go before you go to bed. Otherwise, you're in trouble.
You know what? Sometimes I'll sit in bed, I'll go, I got this.
Yeah. But this
good for you. Keeping the rotten fluids in.
I do it... I teach you a lesson.
You're older, you're fine.
You're the only person I know who feels like they have to earn themselves a piss.
Yeah, it's like David Cameron. He used to
Blair, wasn't it?
No, Cameron used to do it. He used to not go for a wee, so he was more focused when he was talking.
Tony Blair used to wait until he really needed the slash for important phone calls so he wouldn't do them for too long.
Oh, so you wouldn't
so they wouldn't drift for too long.
Right, okay. Yeah.
I don't know if that's true or not. But I was going to say to you that...
What's that sound, Tony?
Yeah.
Are you peeing in a bottle?
No. You're riding the mute button, Tony. I like the idea that you go for a wee before you go to bed, because then you're not disturbed during the night. And I'm generally all right on that. But what I do when I've been out boozing is I do a deal with the devil. I do a deal with myself where I say, I'm going to nail like 2 pints of water before bed. Mm. I know it means I'll have to get up at like 5 and go for a slash, but my hangover will be so much better.
Yeah.
And I'd rather do that trade-off. Mm. Do you ever do that?
I take codeine.
Fucking hell. No, you don't.
I do. I've occasionally... If I know I've got a terrible hangover on the way, I'll take a Paramol, which is paracetamol and codeine. So it's not like illegal drugs.
Is that what you're not offering me?
Nope.
I mean, I've heard of ibuprofen, but I mean, for goodness sake.
What, codeine and paracetamol?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not... I'm sure all the doctors are going, Peter, stop this. Yeah. But it's just... It's an over-the-counter pain medication for migraines.
That's not a real... People don't say, it's over the counter, take as much of it as you
want.
Yeah,
but I'm saying I don't do it every time. I don't do it every week. I don't do it every... I'm just saying that I have on occasion when I know I've drunk too much. I've been drinking cocktails from 1 in the afternoon to midnight and I know...
Is this why you're never at work? Are you still bunged up or are you all right now?
I'm all right. We didn't need to do the backside. We've done the front side. Let's do Thursday show on my bum.
You famously only went... Did 4 poos in the whole of 2012.
True. I enjoyed every last one of them.
Let's talk about an excellent swimming dad.
Like the Nokia 3210 game Snake.
Let's talk about an excellent swimming dad who, to our knowledge, has absolutely no problems with his bowels or his bladder. Mm. It's from Will in Beijing, who's a regular emailer. Hello to you, Will. He says, hello again, gentlemen. I've always enjoyed the dad behaviour trope on the show, but I couldn't think of any way that I could fit the man into a story for you until now. My dad is now in his mid-60s, but, like Luke's, was a county-level swimmer back in the day. Surrey versus Hampshire was presumably a battle for the ages. I did think about that. I thought, I wonder if my dad actually... Your dad, Will, because they're probably the same age. My dad's the same age as that.
Has it really gotten to 4 years in? My dad is swimmy than your dad.
My dad
can swim your dad.
I don't know what planet you're on, because I'll tell you something now. If we found out that my dad raced against a listener's dad in the 60s in swimming, in a county level swimming race, that's content.
Yeah, it would be like Becca McEnroe. Did they battle off against each other quite a lot?
It's Borg, McEnroe Borg, isn't
McEnroe
it?
McEnroe Borg, right.
Yeah. What's your point?
I'm just saying it, like an epic battle for the ages. Your dad's and
what was that noise?
It was the spring on
your bladder.
We need to end the show.
Yeah. So anyway, Will says his dad's in his mid-60s now, who was a county level swimmer. He said he didn't really mind that his 2 kids both got massively into football, as long as we were both decent swimmers. Fast forward to a 2010 family holiday in Croatia. The parents stayed at a hotel down by the bay, kids in a rented flat on the other side of the bay. After lunch one day, dad challenges any takers to a swimming race across the bay. The way you've written that, Will, was like he just shouted it across the bay because you're on different sides. He says, Will says, I was the only volunteer. My dad offered me a head start, brackets arrogant, but thinking that he's about 55 and I'm 21, I can take him. Not only does he beat me, He also has enough time to purchase 2 pints of Croatian lager, get a table, and laugh as I finish the 1 kilometre swim across a choppy bay a full 2 minutes behind him. Last time I went home in summer 2019, we went for a swim at the local pool in Dorking, and he can still do 2 full lengths underwater on a single breath and finds it hilarious that neither of his kids can manage it. For me, this is peak dad behaviour. I hope you appreciate it. Cheers, Will from Beijing.
Yeah, talented dad behaviour. Again, what is going on?
Again, I can't believe it.
There
just,
we go.
Just leave it alone.
I didn't touch it. It just went off in my hands, mother.
Stop stroking it.
It was just there.
Is your dad a good swimmer?
Yeah, he is actually. Yeah, but he's a big maybe. Fat man. He can float. Yeah, naval man. He said his veins open up and it's just water.
Do you think you have to have a swimming test to get join the Navy?
Yeah, I think you do. Yeah, you can be bad at it, but you still have to. I think it's not that because the whole idea of the Navy is to stay in a ship, isn't it? Really?
Yeah.
You're not getting the best swimmers, are you? If you are, you're getting the worst naval officers.
They're mutually exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I know that a good friend of mine was in the Navy for a long time, and he said that every so often when they're out at sea, they used to do these man overboard drills. Whoa. And it was pretty intense.
Yeah, I bet it was.
I bet. I'd like to hear more about that, to be honest.
Like...
anyway,
well, Will, that was fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic stuff. I'm a pretty decent swimmer, you guys. Yeah.
Okay, cool, great.
I could turn over a kilometre, I reckon.
Could you?
Okay, yeah. Good. And we started talking about this originally because Vish, our friend and confidant, can't swim.
Cannot swim. Is that right? Interesting.
No, exactly. Right. There we go. Right, I think that's about as much time as we've got for today.
Yeah.
It's been bloody enjoyable. We'll try and do less bladder and bowel chat on Thursday's show, but we'll see how we go.
We just heard that Prince has died.
Oh, not again.
Oh, dear.
Not again. We can do some kind of Purple Rain joke or...
No, let's just get out of here.
All right, see you later on. Thanks very much for listening. Hello@lukeandpeachy.com is the email address. We are @LukeandPeachy on Twitter and Instagram. Have a bloody lovely week. Enjoy the weather. And we'll see you again on Thursday. Bye-bye.
Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.